And I did mention that today is World Health Day. And today we are celebrating the theme with looking at healthy beginnings as well as hopeful futures. And joining me in studio as we dive into a segment called Fresh Health, we have Twilika Andreas. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Arthur?
I'm great, how are you?
Good.
It's good to see you. How's the day going?
Good to see you too. I mean, the day is fresh. Like Fresh FM.
I see what you did
there.
It's
a beautiful day. It's a green day. It's a celebratory day. And I'm happy that we're here today.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, let's dive straight into it. I mean, today we're celebrating World Health Day with the theme, as I mentioned earlier, healthy beginnings as well as hopeful futures. Yeah. And being in the world of, you know, health and medical health specifically, you're graduating this year in April.
Yes.
Now, just as World Health Day launches a global campaign on maternal as well as newborn health, what is it like stepping into the medical field? I mean, you've been in it already, but officially graduating, what does it essentially mean to you?
I mean, it's very exciting. It's a time like no other. Look at what has been happening already for Namibia as a whole.
Yeah.
Look at our female presidency, our female leadership. Everything as a whole feels brand new. It's exciting. And I think for a young doctor such as myself in a country that's moving forward so tremendously well, I'm excited to be part of this field. I'm excited to see what the medical landscape is going to look like in the next few years. And I'm also really excited to just know that healthcare is about to expand like never before, especially for women and children.
Yes, exactly. And in your opinion, what key areas in the in the realm of health do you think needs a lot more attention?
I definitely think that we should try and focus on decentralizing healthcare. Of course, we have the facilities. Of course, our country and our government has been doing a great job so far. But I mean, look at how people struggle in the rural areas, the destitute communities. There's so much more that we need to do in terms of those areas, uplifting them, building them, and ensuring that really healthcare should be closer to home like never before.
Yeah.
But of course, also strengthening our team members and our doctors, especially the junior doctors, encouraging them and helping them to be part of the change and everything that's happening in the country right now.
Yes, exactly. That is fantastic. Now, having the theme of, you know, maternal and newborn health, during your clinical experiences, have you noticed moments that have highlighted challenges and opportunities that is in caring for mothers as well as newborns?
Of course. I mean, for every doctor, not even a doctor, just even a nursing student in the hospital, we get to see how mothers and children every day receive healthcare, deal with healthcare, and so on. I mean, I can share a little story about a young girl who came from the regions one day. She was not treated well in the regions and her blood pressures were very high.
Yeah.
But this is also because she never went for follow-up.
Okay.
So when she came to the hospital, she was presenting with fits. So when she came, we immediately tried to manage her and stabilize her. And of course, the work that was done on the ground was so impressive that at the end of the day, the baby was born, came out well and alive. And this just shows how much our healthcare system has evolved over the years. And it shows how much more work we need to do in the regions to empower our regions and to ensure that they can self-sustain without having to send our patients over to the more sort of larger hospitals per se.
Exactly. Now, being a, you know, an a young professional, I would like to say professional, in this particular field, and having so many, you know, this new generation of young people wanting to dive into the areas of health, what advice would you give to them? How do you think they can actually make a difference within this sphere, being essentially the next, you know, the future of this particular field of health?
Yeah, I think one thing I'd want to tell any person in healthcare is that remember why you started.
Yes.
I think throughout the process, we forget what has brought us into this career. It's a very intense career, very high pressure career, and it demands every area of you. It demands your physical health, your mental health, spiritually. It challenges you in every dimension possible. So I'd want to encourage them to remember why they started so that at the end of the day, they can actually use every skill that they've developed and also every skill that's innate for them. And I think in the same vein, I'd want to encourage the seniors to continue to uplift the juniors so that they can have a seat at the table as well in terms of management, in terms of policy, I mean, in terms of also discussing what healthcare looks like in the future for Namibia.
Exactly. Now, we're going to take a short break, but I would like to ask you, with reference to, you know, experiences at a hospital. And I grew up watching Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
we all did. Trust me, Grey's Anatomy, very questionable.
Yeah. And I've watched Grey's Anatomy, and I've seen, you know, how healthcare professionals treat people.
Yeah.
And it looked so wonderful to watch. But then when I experience it myself, it's a very different ballgame, you know?
Course.
And I'd like to dive into that with reference to, you know, how people can care for patients, not just the physical aspect of it, but also the emotional aspect as well. But we'll dive into that in just a bit. For now, let's quickly check in on MultiChoice, and we'll be back in just a bit. Don't you dare go anywhere.
The feelings of
Fresh FM Namibia. Yeah.
You're still locked in on Fresh FM 102.9, a beautiful Monday afternoon as we celebrate World Health Day. Still with me in studio is Tuilika Andreas. You still good?
I'm still good.
Now, I did mention the likes of Grey's Anatomy before, and looking at the way people are treated, that is in, you know, health facilities.
Yeah.
And the question is, how does one navigate, you know, treating patients, not only the physical aspect, let's say if someone lost a leg or something, but also emotionally as well? Because I've been to places whereby I'm just like, you're not supposed to be in health, you know?
Yeah,
you don't know how to work with people. So how does one navigate that that approach with reference to treating people well?
Okay, so there's a special concept in medicine that we call patient-centered care. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we are taught from the very beginning of our junior years of even being in medical school. Even considering the fact of becoming a doctor, you need to know about patient-centered care.
Yeah.
What this basically says in simple words is that as a doctor, the first thing you do is listen.
Okay.
You listen to your patient, not only to what they say, but also to their body language, how they behave, and everything as a whole. You look at the patient as a holistic human being. You don't look at the patient as a symptom. You don't look at the patient as their pain, but you look at them considering that they have emotions, feelings, and also that as they're sitting there or lying there by you, they are at their most vulnerable state.
Yeah.
So you need to treat them as such. But unfortunately, of course, we work in a very high demanding space.
Yeah.
Especially, for example, in state hospital, where you can have a ratio of 1 to 1,000 patients, one doctor to 1,000 patients, for example.
Wow.
And you wonder, how am I going to remain relaxed and composed throughout all the hours of my shift? And considering that people also come from different spheres of life, and they also come with all their different personalities to you. So how do you try and remain composed? But I believe that over the years, as you work in the field, you kind of develop a tough skin, but also a love for the art.
Yeah.
So your passion kind of overtakes you. And even at your lowest, at your most exhausted days, you're still able to see the patient as a vulnerable human being who just needs your help.
Yeah. I actually see doctors as... I don't want to like make it seem very small, but I don't think like roles are bigger than the other.
Yeah.
But I see them as waiters in some regard, you know. And
I love that analogy.
Yeah, I had this discussion earlier today with a taxi driver, and we'll talk about tipping and like should you tip waiters, you know? And the chat is yes, but then we talk about like how some waiters are just rude and they don't like people, and that's also the same with health professionals.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like you know, and then. I think in as much as us or as much as doctors and health professionals should understand that, you know, they're dealing with people, we as the people should also understand that we're dealing with people that are health professionals.
People.
Because because sometimes you experience a rough day, you meet mean people, you know, and then it's like sometimes you run out of data bundles of kindness,
course,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
So I make it a job to laugh with people all the time.
I really love that.
Yeah.
I love that, honestly.
Now, you are a professional in health, but in many spheres of life. I mean, you've been a student leader. You've helped in building communities. You're co-founders of two different initiatives. Now, how do you see your journey in medicine intersecting with your passion that is for social impact?
Beautiful. I love that question. It's very close to my heart.
Yeah.
I believe that medicine cannot exist without social impact.
Yeah.
Being a doctor is already you making a social impact.
Mm-hmm.
So the two worlds kind of collide very well together. In my journey as a student leader, as well as a community advocate of sort, I've learned that you have to work at the grassroots with the people.
Yeah.
So already this has kind of opened up my eyes to how I should also function as a doctor, working at the grassroots and trying to kind of recognize what it is that the people need at the very bottom level of where, like meeting the people where they are.
Yeah.
So essentially what I'm trying to say is that community work that I've done over the years has really helped me to also become a better healthcare practitioner per se.
Yeah.
And I see myself evolving further in that field, as I'm currently also working on an initiative called Wellness Without Borders, where we basically want to go out into the community, address all the inequities and lack of access at the grassroots, mm-hmm. and see how we can bring healthcare to the people.
Yeah.
So essentially, yeah, I think they both really go hand in hand.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, diving into essentially closing the gap, you know, there's a gap between awareness and active, proactive action.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people take days like this. I think sometimes, or most of the time, a day is celebrated on that particular day, and then after the day is done, then it's like, oh yeah, back to, you know, the day regular, as usual, whereby we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So how would you say we can dive into making sure that the gap between celebrating a particular day and making things a regular occurrence, you know, how do we essentially close that gap between the two?
So I love that question. It kind of reminds me of Valentine's Day. How people are like, every day should be Valentine's Day. You can't just love me on one day, you know? So some people decide not to celebrate Valentine's Day because every day is Valentine's Day. So essentially what I'm trying to say is that World Health Day should actually be celebrated every day.
Yeah.
And every day we should look at it as an opportunity to advance healthcare in our country, advance healthcare at the grassroots in our local hospitals and at homes. What I mean by this is I think it's important that we are consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent human beings in everything we do. If you're a doctor, show up consistently as a doctor. If you're a nurse, show up consistently as that. But even as a patient, show up consistently knowing that, like you said, you're dealing with another human being.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, it's a collective effort. It's not just governmental effort or institutional effort, but it's really the people who make the system work. It's us who are in the system who make it function better. So consistency every day will definitely try and bridge those gaps even better, more than we can even imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a question I love asking, you know, professionals in certain fields, and I'd like to ask you that question.
Sure.
It's diving into what you value within the field. So what's that one thing about, you know, health, being a health professional that you value that most people don't?
Surprisingly, I think I already mentioned it.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that somebody can be vulnerable with me. Oh. I think that's a very special thing to know that somebody can sit with me and trust me. And this trust, it started way back. I mean, I was third year when I first stepped into the hospital. I'm just a little girl, but somebody's grandmother is trusting me to actually make notes for them in their file. Notes that a senior doctor is going to read, notes that a nursing team is going to read. So just that vulnerability that people sort of allow themselves to be in when they see a doctor or a medical professional of any sort. So yeah, vulnerability is not an easy thing. And I don't think we humans deal with it very well. So the fact that people voluntarily are vulnerable with healthcare workers makes it very special and unique.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do agree. I saw this post, not a post, but it was something on in the newspaper with a lady talking about like her basically her grievance to, like, you know, the health professionals.
Yes.
Like, I've never been, you know, naked before in front of anyone.
Yes, I saw that as well.
And that was, that just opened my eyes to, like, because I don't always go to the hospital. I mean, I'm those guys, I'll be fine, you know, I'll buy a lemon or two.
The ambassador of World Health Day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and it just opened my eyes into how vulnerable people are in those particular spaces,
of
you know.
Course.
And there's nothing more vulnerable than trusting your life to
somebody else. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, with that said, I have one last question before we let you go, because we're running out of time.
Sure.
With reference to, you know, the narrative of health and carrying on and basically picking up the baton with reference to the younger generation, what advice would you give to people that are aspiring health professionals that want to dive into this sphere, that are maybe afraid of the responsibility? Because I think with great things
comes great responsibility.
Come great responsibility and the other way around, because with great responsibility comes great strength as well.
Yeah.
So with people that are aspiring to be in this particular field, what advice would you give to them?
Wow. I mean, I think I would also be advising myself through this advice, because I'm still aspiring and I'm still growing in the field.
Yeah.
And I think that the one important thing I want them to remember is that you are more than just a doctor. Because most of the times we try and kind of just make ourselves, we box ourselves into this little thing that we are. So we kind of just look at ourselves from one angle. You're just a doctor, you're just a nurse. But actually, you can be so much more. You can actually change a system. You can actually impact. We sleep on so many of our skills, on so many of our talents, because we just try and zone in on one thing. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd want to encourage them to take a seat at tables and engage with policy, engage with leadership, and try and have a voice, you know. But also, at the same time, don't lose yourself. I think I already said this. Don't lose yourself. Always know who you are. Remain rooted in why you started. And I think this will be the thing that keeps you going, because at the end of the day, you are evolving and you'll continue to evolve into a new person every day, especially when you face different seasons and you're in different environments. So yeah, never lose yourself and continue establishing yourself.
Ah, fantastic. With that said, we'll leave it at there. If you did miss the chat, if you just tuned in, you're wondering, it's Novato Kutkanai. We're chatting to Lika Andreas. Now, if you missed the chat, you can catch on our website. That's www.freshfm.com.na. If we'd like to be part of your journey, part of, you know, the awesomeness that is you, where can we find you?
Of course, social media. I think we're all on social media. You can follow me on my Instagram, to Lika Andreas. Mm-hmm. You can also follow me on LinkedIn. Yes. Those are the two profiles I mostly use. I'm not on TikTok, unfortunately, and not on Facebook.
That's fortunately.
Yeah, fortunately, actually. Or you can email me, andreas.tuilika@gmail.com.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much, Tuilika. Have yourself a wonderful day.
Same to you,
Arthur. Thank you so much for joining us in studio.
Sure.